Hello and welcome to the Connected Community Podcast. Today, my guest is Raven Scott, and I'm so excited to be bringing her to the table today to talk about human design. I myself have been really passionate about human design and have been studying it for about 7 years, but I definitely think that I'm in kindergarten. And everything I'd seen on the internet, it just, the more I looked into human design, the more complicated and complex the system got and the more confused I got. And so Raven and I were very intentional with creating this podcast so that we can break down the basics in a really digestible, easy to understand way. And I'm so excited that we did just that. If you want to get the best takeaway from this podcast, I would suggest listening to the video version of this podcast and pulling up your human design chart. And then you are going to have a very great understanding of the basics of your chart. Raven and I also did a podcast previously called Navigating Narcissistic Abuse. Raven is the author of several books. She has her own podcast and she's a human design interpreter. And I am so excited about this podcast. Please, if you're gaining some value from these podcasts, give us a like, a share, and a subscribe. And let's just dive on in for today's episode. Hello, and welcome to the Connected Community Podcast, a place to explore possibility through mindfulness, movement, and self-discovery. Our intention is to deliver insight and inspiration while fostering conversations that are genuine, unfiltered, and deeply human. We hope you will enjoy today's episode. Hello, Raven. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. It's good to see you again. I'm well. Thank you.
I want to thank you for coming on the Connected Community Podcast. This is my second interview with you. The other one we released is about navigating narcissistic abuse. So that's excellent. If so, people enjoy this, they can pop on over to that one that we did together. But I'm excited today to be talking about human design. And I do want to put it out there for anybody that's on audio only that this episode would best serve you if you were following along with a video format. So we are on YouTube. Video. And if people want to get the greatest benefit out of this podcast, I would suggest that they go to www.ihdschool. I think that's internationalhumandesignschool.com and then get your chart. And then they can follow along with their own human design chart. And then everything that we're talking about will make a ton more sense, right?
Yes. Because there's lots of shapes and different things and symbols that we'll be going over.
Yes. And I think when I first pulled up my human design chart, I was absolutely overwhelmed because there was so much. And I'm really excited to have you today to break it down to just like the basic intro for people that are brand new to this concept.
Yeah, I'll try and keep it as grounded and simple as possible for you.
So let's really quickly, before we dive into this chart specifics, what is human design? Where does this system come from? What other systems are included?
Yes, so it was downloaded by Ra Uruhu in 1984, roughly, and it is a combination of ancient divinations and systems, including the I Ching, which is a Chinese divination, astrology, Kabbalah, and the chakra systems. The chakra systems, and then on top of that, there's a combination infused in there about the science of neutrinos. Kind of like explaining how these energies are imprinted in our bodies, and that's through these infinitesimal, tiniest bits of particles from fusion from the planets that hit our body 88 days before we're born in the womb, and then the day that we were born.
Mm-hmm. And so I also want to kind of put out there for people that are following along that it is really important that you have your exact birth time down to the minute for this chart to be accurate.
Yes, super accurate. I would say in general, if you want to know just the basics of what was covered today, you don't have to know the minute until you start getting down into the nitty gritty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, I'm going to pop up this chart for us. And so I want to go through first the centers. So let me get that on my screen so everybody can see that. All right. So here is a typical human design chart.
from that website that we discussed. And so where would be a good starting point, do you think?
Yeah, the centers, I think, is a great place to start. We can talk about the shapes, because that's, I think, one of the biggest things that pops out to you when you first see it, right? Like, what are all these triangles mm-hmm. and squares and shapes over my, like, this body? And then there's all these numbers and lines.
Yes. All right. So let's start. First of all, what does it mean when one is colored in and one is not colored in?
Okay. So let's go center by center, right? And we'll kind of cover if it's white, what does it mean? Then if it's colored, what does it mean?
Perfect.
So the top is the head center, the triangle that's pointing up to the sky. The head center is related to the crown chakra. It is the center for receiving downloads, just like Ra Uruhu did, receiving ideas and information and inspiration. Mm-hmm. This is where everything starts, that we create in the world and what we think and what we experiment with. Mm-hmm. It enters through the head center. So when it is white, that means that you receive this information in a variety of ways. It's not mm-hmm. consistent. Yeah. It also means that you amplify and may be able to receive information from somebody in your aura or in the room who maybe has it colored in and is pumping out the information out, mm-hmm. like thinking about something, and it just kind of transmits over to you. And you're like, oh, well, I'm really feeling like eating lasagna. And they're like, I was just thinking the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, let's go get, you know, Italian. So when you have the head defined, you do also receive downloads and everything from spirit. It's not like you don't, but it's consistent. You receive it just in a consistent way versus the variety of ways where you may mm-hmm. see a sign or hear something, or it comes in a dream, or, you know, all the different ways. When you mm-hmm. have it colored in, it's very consistent and I guess you could say reliable, but it's just the same way of receiving.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I learned, because this is my chart up here, is that having that open head center, that none of your ideas and thoughts come from, they're not your own ideas and thoughts, they're kind of from the collective. But one of the benefits of having it open is that you are open to all different ideas and concepts and thoughts and creativity. And so it does make you a little bit more open-minded.
Yes, open-minded versus, I love that you're the opposite of mine. Mine is defined. Mm-hmm. And so I can get a bit dogmatic if I'm not careful. I can get very like closed-minded mm-hmm. and like, no, this is the right way kind of a thing versus like, there's loads of different ways to think about something or have a discussion about something.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. What is the next one below that?
The next is the ajna. So the inspiration pushes down into the ajna, the pressure of that into the thinking brain going, how do I make sense of this? How do I experiment? How do I make this into reality? Like, what are the systems that this idea could possibly process through? And so the ajna is the conceptualization, like left brain kind of a thinking mm-hmm. In your brain. And so if you have it white, then you also have a variety of ways that you can conceptualize, experiment, and process information, as well as, again, it's an amplification center when it's white. So it's really helpful to be in the sphere of someone who has this ajna defined. If you really want to find a system or a consistent way of like figuring something out and manifesting it.
I have to say, this is the one that is the most confusing out of all of them to me. So I want you to go a little bit deeper, because I feel like the more information I read on this, the more confused I get. And maybe it is because mine is completely open and I don't have any gates coming out of it. And so yeah. Maybe that's part of my confusion, but I'd love for you to go a little bit deeper into that so I can understand that one a little bit better.
And I'd love to ask you a question about that, because typically the center that is open mm-hmm. and undefined is the area where we have our biggest struggles.
Yeah.
So do you have a difficult time? Like, this is also connected to the third eye. So mm-hmm. intuition, do you feel like you don't trust it, or you're getting it from so many different sources, you're not sure which one is yours?
No, my intuition's super strong. That's defined in my chart. Mm-hmm. That is one thing that's very strong that I can
and
trust.
Clean. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the ideas and concepts that I can waver on. So if you give me a point of view, I'm like, oh yeah, I get it. And then if you give me another point of view, I can get that one. And then I get all confused. Or if I'm telling a story from a different perspective, I get kind of confused within the story. So I'm guessing that it's that open center. But I'm not sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's actually really great. Viewpoint too. People who are a bit scattered or have a hard time staying focused do also have this open, because it's, again, you're receiving so much information. It's hard to keep that one train of thought going. Whereas someone who has a defined, almost as like a dog with a bone, it's like they won't let go of a concept. Whereas if you have it open, you're like, okay, whatever. Like, let's just figure out the bigger picture. Let's think about this information that I just got over here. Like, you don't have any hold power in that, which is a beautiful thing, because now you're not so lasered in and like you have all these blinders that someone with a defined may have.
I mean, I'm full of ideas. Like, if somebody comes to me and they have a concept, I'm like, ooh, I have this idea and this idea and this idea and this idea. So I'm really like a good person to come to when people want to bounce around brainstorming. I have millions of ideas in my head. So is that coming from the head or is that coming from this space?
They're a little bit connected. That's why I said, like, you receive it, like, that's just the pure receiving is the top. And then the pushing down, like, well, what if you did it this way? Or what if you did it that way? That's definitely the ajna, kind of like the scientist in your head going, well, I got this idea. What about this? Right? It's the pressure, like the receiving and then the pressure down. That's the ajna at play. And I think any open as well, white center, is great to learn to balance themselves out, or sometimes need to be in the aura of someone with a defined to really make sense of that particular center's energy. Mm-hmm. So it's not bad that you, and you don't, it's not like you don't have your own ideas. You have a lot of ideas. Yeah. But now you need someone to ground those ideas and help you push it down into reality who has a defined.
Right. Perfect. All right. And then moving down that square below that.
The throat center. So the throat center is the ideas get pushed down and then they're spoken out, and that's where manifestation and different things can start to happen through the throat. If we don't communicate, no one can read our minds unless you have an open head and you're actually practicing telepathy. But you really need to speak things out. If you have this white, you do feel this pressure to speak in silent spaces that feel awkward. You have a variety of ways that you can speak about things. And sometimes you have long run-on stories and sentences that people tend to cut you off because you can't stop, like you haven't stopped in for like 5 minutes. It's just like this just amplification. Sometimes the white as well, throat center, can speak very concisely, but you're amplifying something that someone else is trying to say, but they can't get it out.
Yeah.
So that's another part of the white throat. If you have it colored in and defined, then you have a consistent, powerful voice. You don't need to fill in any of the empty spaces. You can say one sentence and be done versus 10 paragraphs about something, you know, very concise, very powerful. And you have that ability to, whatever your gates are defined in there, is what your voice wants to speak about consistently.
Yeah. It's funny, my husband has this undefined and he used to be an actor. It's like that need to be heard and to be spoken. He was very well spoken because he was a trained actor, but it was that need to have your voice amplified in a space and to be heard.
And probably the ability to take on the role of the voice of that particular character he's playing.
Yeah, true, right? That's like almost perfect, right? You could take on a bunch of different roles and a bunch of different voices. That's a good point.
Yeah, like a voice actor too, or a voiceover. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
All right, then we move to the yellow below it.
The identity center, some call it the G center. This is all about self, self-love, how you feel about your self-worth. So if you have this white, you can feel how other people feel about themselves, which can become a superpower, but if you're not aware of it, it can be really painful and you can get pulled into the wrong crowd or feel kind of how the other person's feeling about themselves, which may be very insecure or anxious. And you don't even realize you're taking that energy on if you're unaware.
Yeah.
If you have this defined, then you have this consistent pumping out energy of confidence and self-love and self-awareness. I have this defined, so it's not like you never feel bad about yourself. Like, you can be conditioned. Like, I thought I was like ugly, unloved. I'd never be loved except for the narcissist who convinced me that. And I have this defined. So you can still be overridden by other very toxic defined people. But you can bounce back a little quicker. And of course, the white open centers can as well.
Well, I just want to say really quickly about the self and the not self, because I want to touch on that really quickly, because if something's defined, then when we're talking about it being defined, we're talking about when we're standing in our power of who we are as ourself. And so, and our not self, can you talk a little bit about that, the self and the not self? Because then it'll help people understand, oh, but that's colored in and I am feeling a little bit insecure and I don't feel like I have a strong identity, but it's colored in, and then that's confusing.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was trying to show the caveat there. Of course, this does not make you a superhuman, that you'll never feel bad about yourself, but it does give you that sense of confidence innately within you before the world has conditioned you not to, or before you've been beat down by someone super toxic. Or the not self is that part of yourself that is the ego kind of driving the car in your body, the vessel. And the ego is the shadow part, right? Like, it likes to defend us, but it also loves to work within the dark energies of the world, like jealousy, fear, anger, anxiety, all of those things. So that's why here as a generator and mangen, your not self is frustration. And it's actually a great cue. It's like, are you living in alignment with yourself, with your energy and according to your strategy? And if you're feeling frustrated, that means no. Like, take a step back, stop pushing, and figure out, you know, to wait to respond to something.
When I think of the not self and the self, I think of the, when we're standing in ourself, that's our best self. It's when everything's in alignment and we're in flow and everything's feeling good.
High vibration, right?
Yeah, life just moving along. And then our not self is when we're bumping into walls and we're bumping and we're bumping and we're bumping and we're getting frustrated, we're angry, we're feeling bitter, and we're not our best self. And I think that might be an easy way to explain why there might be a disconnect if something colored in and not colored in and it doesn't make sense to us at that moment.
Yeah. And like I said, even the defined centers, they can be conditioned and overridden by other defined centers, more dominant defined centers within our lives, people in our lives.
Yeah. All right. Which would be the best one to go to from here?
I always pop down to the will center just because it's right there.
Okay.
This little tiny red triangle to the right of the diamond is the will center. This is the area for willpower, the doing action, the gathering of resources, that steadfast, like, I want to develop a habit, I'm going to do it kind of energy. If you have it white, this means that you amplify others' agendas, other people's wills, willpowers to get something done, to gather their team. So you easily hop onto somebody's bandwagon. For instance, you may be sold all the time to be a salesperson on people's MLMs. And you're like, I don't know why I keep falling for it, because it makes me no money, but here I am again. And it's you, it's just, you're amplifying this agenda. Or let's say you, the benefit to being in aura with a defined will powered person is if you want to get on a diet, start an exercise, and you're just struggling with really getting that consistent willpower, then you can grab a buddy and have them hold you accountable or do it together. And then it gives you that willpower and that steadfast stay to do it.
That's so funny, because I'm doing this training. It's a 4-month training, and I've just started this week. And I have a friend who I've kind of, she's gonna do it with me, and she's asked me to keep her accountable. And so every day I reach out to her and I'm like, did you do the exercise? And I'm her accountability buddy. So that's so funny that you mentioned that.
You're the best kind of friend to do that, because you have that defined will center.
That's awesome.
Yes.
All right. And then should we go down to that red square?
Yes. The red square beneath the diamond is the sacral center. If you have this white, that means that you are not a generator type, that this is the doing power. This is the battery or motor for life, the doing. I forgot to mention that the will center that we just exited, that's a motor. So since you have it defined, you have it as a consistent motor. That's why you can every day be like, okay, I'm doing this new habit, or I'm doing this, or I'm going to do this. Whereas if we have it white, you don't have that motor. So you need that help. So the sacral
also. But
again,
we all fall off the bandwagon.
You're not immune to it, of course.
Yes.
And if your motor is not in that cycle and your energy is not correct and it's not in flow with you, even as a defined will, you don't have to do it. We have the free will. So your sacral is open. That means that you're amplifying the doing energy to get stuff done. So you do work best when you're in a group with other defined sacrals. So you can get it done really fast. You can get a whole bunch done, like a quick little like speedy fast forward movie. And but then you need to go and rest for a while. Whereas the defined, the colored in square of the sacral, you could just keep on going. You're just the energizer bunny. You're like, okay, finish that project. What's next? Keep on going. So there's a big difference there. And it can be really difficult and painful to feel like if you have that open sacral, you need to keep up with the other people around you, because the majority of us are defined sacrals. So you have the projector types, the reflectors, and the manifestors who have this sacral white. And so you may compare yourself. You're like, well, I can't do it like them. I keep starting a project and then stopping. Like, I can't finish it. You feel really bad about yourself. But that's not what you're designed here to do. You're designed to either guide, initiate, or observe. So I love this piece of human design, how it starts to kind of take the layers of shame and guilt about who we are off of us.
Yeah. So what you're saying is about half the people have that defined, and that makes them a generator, and everyone else doesn't have that defined, and then they're not generators. So I always think of the generators as like the worker bees of society.
Yeah, I think it's 70%, right? 37 and 33 is 70% of the population are generators. So we can do a project, go to school, let's say, you know, get all your schoolwork done, go play, do sports, you know, all the after school activities, and come home and then do your homework, read, and you're conked out. Where the other portion of these people, humans, you know, we switch out school to work, you know, you go to work, that 9-to-5 grind is not the optimal for your energy. If you have this white, being like a part-time or a consultant or someone who can just, you can manage your own schedule, be able to work in short spurts and then rest, that's ideal for those who have the sacral white.
This is the center with the ahas and uh-uhs. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So if you have it colored in.
If people hear me in this podcast, I'm like, And I think that was the cool thing I learned is the sacral sessions. So because a huge majority of us have that filled in, you can ask people questions and they respond, And that's that immediate response is the right answer. Even if there's a hesitation, it's a no. I think that's also like my kid has this filled in. And when he eats, he's like, like he's very vocal. And so it's really listening to those subtle uh-huhs and uh-uhs. And that first response is the one to listen to.
I love that. Yeah, I saw this cutest reel somewhere on Instagram or something, and it's so true. I see that. I observe that in my own self, my husband, and my youngest. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is I don't hear any humming or ums from my projector child.
Yeah.
And this one cutest reel was the mom was sharing all these different foods for the daughter. She was, I don't know, maybe 3. You know, do you want broccoli? Mm-hmm. No, what did she say? Do you want like all the yummy stuff, like strawberries and oranges? And she was like, right? And then she'd be like, you want broccoli? She'd be like, this noise that was just like,
whoa. No.
And that's important to nurture back if you were told to use your language or use your words versus humming or like umming and aahing, like, oh, that's rude, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think about that. My little boy's making all, he's always, and like, it's so obvious. As soon as he puts a bite of food and he's like, it just makes me smile. Like, he loves that. And not stuffing that down in our kids when they're making these noises, because that's who they are. That's who they're meant to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. And to listen to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that provides you way more information. Like, language is important for them to develop as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're just listen to those and be like, okay, we're on the right path here. Like, there's a lot of, you know, humming and umming. Yeah.
And then the root. This is my battle.
Of course it is.
You so have it white. Wish I had this colored in. For me, I think of the root as like, in Ayurveda, it's like the kapha. The people that have it filled in are just really like slow and steady and reliable. And mine is open. So I'm like, hurry up, let's hurry up and get to the next task. And then when we get to the next task, it's like, hurry up, let's get to the next task. And there's that constant feeling of needing to hurry through something. And it's a challenge.
Yeah, I know. I posted a reel one time of this cutest little tiny pink piglet running from left to right to zigzagging all around the house, like throwing up rugs. And I was like, that's totally the open root center. Like,
yes.
It's just chaos sometimes. And what I've found, because I also have this, plus I think I have zero gates. Yes, I have zero gates defined. So this is my biggest pain point. Is just like, this is where the area of the adrenaline, your worth, how quickly you do something, when you're going to do it. You know, it's like, so it was always like, well, it should have been done yesterday when you have an open root. And I got to do it now. And okay. And it's this constant, like, proving your worth. Like, well, if I do it now, then they'll know that I'm competent and capable and I can do it. And I totally can do it. But do you need to, like, do you need to kind of go and meditate about it, journal about it first, like really get yourself, your thought process out? Like, so many times I'll record an episode for the podcast and then I'll hear something or I'll be mulling stuff over and I'm like, I have to re-record that. Like, there's so much more good stuff that, you know, I need to add into there. So when you have it open, you just need to kind of take a lesson from the defined root person who you may think at the moment is lazy.
Yeah.
And just like chill, like life will get done.
It's, that's the downside too, is labeling somebody else or self-labeling as lazy. When that is colored in.
Yeah. And this is another motor.
Yeah.
So when the time is right and the motor is up and it's revving in that defined route, then they'll get it done. Don't worry. Yeah. They'll get it done. Mm-hmm. Just, it won't be on your urgent timing, right? Yeah. It will get done. And then when it's down, they know how to rest. They know how to nap. And like we said, we're jealous of that. We wish we could do that.
Yeah, we need to learn. Yeah.
So maybe go do yoga or go walking or some meditation to kind of model that a little bit to calm your nervous system down.
Mm-hmm. I think a perfect example would be somebody on a road trip, you know, it's colored in and they're just totally chill. They've got the window down and the music playing and they're like, not a care in the world. And then there's a, you know, the one where it's undefined us. We're like, we got to hurry. We got to hurry. We got to get there. We got to get there on time. And then we get there early.
Yes.
And we're in a hurry and it might not even be our own feeling of being in a hurry, but it's, you know, everyone around us. Cause we're picking up when something's open, we're picking up all the energy of everyone around us. That's defined. And so we might feel like we're in a rush and it's not even our own rush.
Yeah. Anything that's that white is you feel this unnecessary pressure. Same as the top. You have all these ideas and it's unnecessary pressure to do the ideas. It's like, 90% of those ideas are not for you. So why don't you write them down and then someone will come into your sphere and be like, oh, that was for them. This is perfect. This is the idea for them.
And there is that saying in human design where the head is undefined and the root is undefined. That's called the pressure sandwich. It's a very difficult path to navigate, which I have on my chart here, which is the, hurry up and get it done so we can finish, so we can hurry up and get the next thing done.
And you never can get any of it done or checked off on your to-do list because you have a flood of ideas flooding into your head.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So now do we go right or left?
I don't know. I always go right. I don't know. Maybe because I'm right-handed. I don't know.
All right. Let's go to right.
Solar plexus. So this triangle is pointing to the left is on the right bottom hand side of the chart you're looking at. And this is a solar plexus. This is governs the emotions. This is the last motor. So this solar plexus, when you have it white, this is probably the biggest one that I see with people pleasing, just because you're trying to alleviate the pressure. Remember, if it's white, there's pressure, alleviating the pressure of whatever emotion you're amplifying at the moment. Similar to what like Eckhart Tolle talked about, empaths are sponges. If you have it white and you're not conscious and you're not elevating your vibration and getting your aura strong,
yes,
you are absorbing all the emotions of the people around you, in the room, in the collective, and it just feels really uncomfortable and you want to get it out. And typically you probably are the loudest person when there's emotional conflict, because it's like a volcano, like you can't take the thousand, you know, amplifications of those emotions that are difficult. And when you have it defined, this is a motor. So you are setting the emotional tone of the room when you walk in. Mm-hmm. If you're up, everyone's up. If you're down, more than likely you're going to affect other people to feel uneasy or down as well.
Yeah. When I learned about human design, this was the one that was the most helpful to my marriage. Mine is colored in. My husband's is not. And when he learned about my design, about how my emotions come, and they come in waves. I know there's three different kinds of waves, but they kind of come, they bubble up, and they go down. And that's kind of my design. That's how I'm supposed to be, as difficult as that might be at sometimes, are these waves of emotion and learning to navigate these waves. When he learned that about me, then he was able to step aside and not get involved in those waves. Cause I think that we do, we amplify it, and then the other people feel it, and then they feel it more than us.
Yeah.
And it can get really intense. But then when he realized that his was undefined and mine was defined, he was able to sit back and look at the wave and be able to sit back and wait for it to pass.
And I love that mine's also open and my husband's is defined. So I'm opposite of you. And I've had to learn to just let it bounce off me. Like, that's not my problem. Like, I'm here to support and whatever you need, but that's not something that I need to like hop in and fix.
Yeah.
I just need to hold space for you, but not fix it. And it's hard because, I mean, we're trained all the time as little ones. Our parents did it to us too. If we cry, they're going to try and fix it or explain it away, where it's like, just hold space for it and it'll just pass. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, also my husband's a nurse practitioner, so he's going in with children in the, in the intensive care, in the pediatric intensive care unit. And so he's dealing with some really big emotions and death and really hard stuff. And so it's helped him, knowing his design too, that it's undefined, that he has a tendency to absorb all of those emotions and those feelings that other people are projecting out. And having that awareness of kind of putting that mirror back, and you can be empathic without, to the detriment of yourself.
Yeah, without taking it on. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And does he cry when he watches movies, when people are crying, or you're supposed to cry during watching movies?
No, he's really empathic though, but he's not a big crier.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't help it. Every single time I watch Avatar and they kill that giant whale thing, like I've watched it like 10 times because my kids love that movie. Yeah. And I'm crying. I'm like, I've seen this 100 times, but I'm still going to cry because I...
I mean, it's a strength. All of these open or closed, they're all strengths once we know how to use them and understand them.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, let's move to the left triangle.
And the last one is the spleen, that left triangle. When you have the spleen governs your immune system, your intuition. And when you have this open, you are amplifying. This is also a location of fears, right? Because fear keeps us alive. So therefore, it's that ancient energy of like stay alive, survival in the spleen. So when you have this open, you are amplifying fears. They can be debilitating, similar to the emotions where that can be debilitating. It's like, oh, I feel this so much. I have to fix it. You feel the fears and you like don't do stuff, or you get frozen or kind of paralyzed because of those amplifications of fears.
Yeah.
When you have that white, you also are super in tuned with your body and any sensations. You do not like the discomfort of being sick or even having a little bit of a stuffy nose drives you insane. So yeah. You're very on top of making sure you don't get sick. And you receive your intuition in a number of different ways. You may have a whole number of different clairs, like clairvoyant, clairsentient, etc. Mm-hmm. When you have it defined, it's again, defined as consistency. So mm-hmm. you have a quote unquote strong immune system, or maybe just a better way of ignoring the symptoms, because then you get hit with being sick and you're like bedridden. You're like, I should have taken vitamin mm-hmm. C a week ago, but I didn't. So you have that in your energy. You do technically have fears, but since they're consistent within you, it's not debilitating. You're just used to always pushing through them. So mm-hmm. when you see someone who's like, oh, I can't go in an elevator, like it's super scary, we might get stuck and die. You're like, come on, give me a break. It's an elevator. It's never going to break down ever, yeah. right? So there's like the interactions between the two and the spleen. Mm-hmm. And you usually receive your intuition in a consistent way. And you can have multiple clairs as well, but typically there's going to be one clair that's stronger in your intuition. It's consistent. Yeah.
And I think with me, that colored in is that's my fight or flight is very aware. I can always trust my intuition. If something doesn't feel good, that street doesn't feel like I should go down that street, or this mm-hmm. person's energy doesn't feel right. And you just kind of feel out situations and be able to trust that.
Yeah. You have a very keen sense of non-smell, you know, it's like that smells off.
Yeah.
So trust it. Don't let your head like justify that away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go to the gate. So there's a lot of different colors on here. So let's just talk about what is design? It says design. It's got all those numbers. They're all red. Then there's the personality on the right. It's all black. And then there's red and black on the chart. And one of the cool things that I learned about this piece was that the black ones are the ones that we trust, that we know, that we understand, that we know about ourselves and that are true to us. And the red are very apparent to everyone around us. So, and might be unconscious to us. So if I looked at what my red gate was and I asked all my friends and family, they would 100% say that was me, but I might be blind to that. And I feel like those red lines are our teachers, just as our open centers are our teachers.
Yeah. It's like, why does this pattern keep happening? Mm-hmm. Look over to your design. And that means that those neutrinos hit your body in the womb 88 days before you were born. Just like the astrology has that wheel and all the planets are going around it, the same is true. There's this human design mandala. It's a circle. Mm-hmm. And as all the planets are going around, they're going through these gates. There's these teeny tiny slivers and each one is a gate going around. Mm-hmm. So that wherever position they were at 88 days before you're born, that's the gate that they were in. And that's that planet. You see all these different symbols. Those mm-hmm. are the planets. So the sun is at the top, the earth, the moon, your north node, south node, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. We're well all done. In those gates.
Oh, well done, you. Raven.
You see, I paused at the urine.
Always have to look them up.
I've read enough charts where I'm like, I just know, I know. Mm-hmm. But those all were there 88 days before you're born. So they're not technically in your astrology birth chart. They're in your subconscious, the foundation mm-hmm. of who you are as a psyche in your design.
Yeah.
And then the black.
Yeah.
On the right, mm-hmm. that's your personality. Personality mm-hmm. is the day you were born. So this is something that you see, you exude out to the world that you consciously are aware of. This is your conscious. Mm-hmm. Same exact concept. All the planets are next to these dates when you were born.
And then there's some that are striped, which means they hold both energies.
Yes. And typically those are the slower moving planets. So like Neptune, you're going to have striped because there's gate 34 and gate 34. So how do we find them? So if we go up to your sun sign, personality is in the gate 40. Gate 40 is in your will center. So this gate right here. So you mm-hmm. see 40 and then you can see there's a black line because mm-hmm. there's only 40 is only on the right side. That's how you find
those first three, I think, are massively important, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, they're all important, but the first two or three are huge.
Same, just as this is where astrology starts to kick in. This is how you read your astrology chart, is mm-hmm. how you read the importance and how these gate energies affect your planets. So yes, yeah. The sun is how you project yourself. The earth is not in astrology, but the earth is like where you are grounded in. So mm-hmm. the energy that you're grounded in that helps you stay grounded. The moon is how you feel, your fulfillment, your emotions. I think North Node is pretty important too, just because that's usually what our soul is yearning towards, and kind of the energy we're moving into as a soul. Mm-hmm. And the South Node is what our soul needs to let go of. We've been doing it for too many lifetimes, like just let go. Mm-hmm. And how you even speak and communicate, that's your Mercury. So they all are significant, but if you just basics, start with the top three.
Yeah. All right. So somebody's wanting to dive in deeper. The gates are the ones that are individual, and the channels are the ones where two gates connect and they create like a long line. So if you look to the left, you'll see I have a long line. That's a channel. And on the right, there's a half a line. So that's a gate. So what can we learn from our gates and all those numbers?
Yeah. I put in my book all about each gate, which is so fun to go through, because as I'm recording episodes for the podcast, I'm kind of going into like it's Aquarius season, like because each gate is linked with a different astrological zodiac. So when you look at, okay, I have, you know, gate 35.
Here,
yeah,
I'll
so you have 35 highlighted, which is your sun sign in your subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 35 is in the throat center. So that's going to obviously be a theme of like what I subconsciously talk about.
Oh boy, here we go. Here's my dark side. Bring it out, Raven.
Okay, ready? Are you ready for this?
I'm totally aware of this.
Okay. Throat center. So this is the gate of change. In the I Ching, it's called progress. And this, your sun, 88 days before you're born, is in Gemini. So you have a little bit of a Gemini flavor to you subconsciously. So the shadow of this, I also love to use gene keys, which is like a whole other deep dive. The shadow of this is hunger. The gift for you, there's always a gift and a lesson through each of our gates. So the gift is adventure, and the enlightenment is boundlessness. So gate 35 is associated with energy of making changes, taking risks, and expressing of a pioneering spirit.
Mm. And what's the shadow? What do I need to work on here?
The shadow is hunger. So are you hungering too much? Are you in, you know, can you satiate your hunger by just allowing yourself to have the adventures that come to you through your strategy? Mm. And then the enlightenment is like, there's boundless of adventures, and I don't have to like be so hungry because the universe is going to bring them to me in the right timing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am kind of an adventure seeker, I have to say. I always have been. I'm like seeking the next adventure. Yeah. So that would be something that I've learned to be aware of, but other people are, it's like obvious to them that that's my trait.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, one of the things I think is really cool is that if you and I were together in a room and I had your chart laid on top of my chart, then we could see how our charts affect each other. What I always learned is that our gates are always looking for the other side.
Yeah.
And so if you hold the other side of that gate, that one that's empty, then we create a channel together. And that's kind of where we light up. I feel like that's where you have that spark of energy and you meet someone and it just kind of feels good and everything's flowing. I feel like almost as if they're complimenting you chart wise and they're creating channels.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's so true. And that it's really fun to put your partners up too. Like what my biggest discovery when I put mine up to my partners is that he has a 21, the gate 21 defined, and a defined will center, which is in that red, the top of the triangle. And he doesn't have this side, but I have in the throat 45, which is that queen energy in the treasurer. So together as a channel, we can bring, like, build an empire. We can bring a massive collection together, right? Like of an abundance in our life. Mm-hmm. But from a reading I had, we lack wisdom, which is in the identity center or the vision. So just recently we had someone come into our sphere who has a vision. And so the three of us are starting something new that we're all really excited about. And I can envision it being really big. So like that's how even three people together can create massive impact and change in the world and each other's lives, just with all of our gates connecting to each other.
Yeah. I mean, that almost explains the power of community. We can't do it all ourselves, but then somebody else comes and they compliment us, or, you know, somebody needs to get something done. They want to have a generator there. And so in, on a team, you want to have like a manifester that can manifest the ideas, and then you want a generator who can implement them. And so it is kind of neat in that way. So what is the strength of a channel, and what is the strength of a gate, and what about all those empty gates? I mean, if anybody has a chart, there's not too many full channels. I think I have four. But you're not going to see someone with like millions of channels and millions of gates lit up.
It's like 3 to 5 that I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. On average. Channels.
Channels.
So the channel is like just an extra flavor to those two gates that connect. Mm-hmm. And there's 3 different types of channels. You have an individual circuitry channel. It's kind of like talking about how these electrons and energies work in our bodies. So one is just uniquely for your own growth path. For your own soul, that's your individual channel. The other one is a tribal channel, where you're more motherly and you're taking care of the clan and the tribe, or passing on different traditions and things like that. Yeah. And then there's another group of channels where they're part of the collective. Again, like affecting the collective, more of a systems type or bigger than just yourself, like a collective channel. Mm-hmm. Helping a wider audience.
And so people can look that up. If they see a channel, they can look up the two numbers and look up the channel, and then they can kind of see. I think the channels are our powerhouses, like our superpowers that we have that we can bring to the world. It's our offerings, it's our gifts, it's our strengths.
Yeah, I have a book I love to always reference when I'm doing readings for channels by Karen Curry. Mm-hmm. Her Red Human Design book. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see. What about to the left? It says type, and there's 4 types. And so let's talk about, mine says manifesting generator. There's others. So let's go there.
Yeah. I mentioned them briefly earlier. So the manifesting generator, I'll list them and then we'll go through. Mm-hmm. And the generators, that makes up 70% of the population. Those have that defined sacral. Then you have projectors, manifestors, and reflectors. So the manifesting generator, you have a motor connected to your throat in some way, shape, or form. That's what makes you a manifesting generator. You love to juggle lots of things. You are the expert multitasker, especially if you have your open head center. You're like, oh, starting a new book. Got a new idea. Like you have loads of projects started around your house, but they're not quite completely finished.
Oh my God, that's so me. Oh my God. I'm like the 80% person. I'll like clean the kitchen 80%. Like I always, my husband have a joke about it. I'm like, I will read a book almost all the way to the end and then not finish it. That is hilarious. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you just have this very organic, fluid process. Like, you don't go A to Z. You're like, oh, no, I got that. Like, you're super fast. You don't have patience to go through, like, even reading instructions on how to assemble something. You're like, oh, no, how to do this. And then halfway through, you're like, oh, crap, I got to go read the instructions now. Like, it's kind of a start in the middle, and go undo. Backwards, and then go again. And that's perfectly fine. Like, and all the generators in your life are going to look at you and roll their eyes, but that's okay. That's you're not a generator. You're a manifesting generator.
Yeah. That's your organic process. We skip steps, and that it's okay to skip steps. And sometimes it works out and we can do that. And other times we have to, like you said, we have to go back, read the manual, undo everything and then redo it. But that's kind of the process.
You find your magic, and not every project is going to be your magic project. Yeah. We're not here to be like the jack of all trades. I have a Manjin child, and I think of how brilliant she is with her art. It's very abstract. Mm-hmm. It's not like realistic at all. And then also like she loves to make slime. And she doesn't follow a recipe. She doesn't do the same thing every single time. Sometimes she won't even use a bowl. She'll make it on the table. Like, and it's just, she's brilliant at it. And there's no set way of doing it. So I think that's where you find your magic. Mm-hmm. For the generator, speaking of generators, I'm one, so I'm a pure generator. We love to read the instructions, be prepared. Sometimes we'll just dive right in because we also don't have patience. Mm-hmm. However, we have a more linear A to Z type of a mindset. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to read this recipe before I cook it because I want to be prepared. Yes. Because in the past, maybe I've started a recipe and I should have read it, right?
Yes.
That's also, Manjin can do that.
Yes, like, totally. I'm thinking about that. I'm like, I don't have that ingredient. Halfway through the recipe.
I feel like I'm like half Manjin, half Jen, because I am a generator, but I was raised by a manifesting generator and I have the power channel, which also can be deceptively like a manifesting generator. I just don't have patience. I just want to get stuff done. So, but yeah, much more methodical. I would say Manjins can be methodical. I've met a manifesting generator who I was like, are you sure you're not a generator? Because you're very methodical. But there's other aspects that make them more methodical.
You want generators. Generators are the worker bees. They're the ones that put things into action. They're the ones that are out there like working their butts off.
Yeah. I would say Manjins too. Mm-hmm. You're definitely working your butt off.
Generators, man generators. Yeah.
And of course, the projectors are also trying to work their butts off. But they're like, I'm getting burnt out. I don't know how you guys can do that. Mm-hmm. And that's that part of the shadow of amplifying the energy is they think they can do so much. And you can do so much, but you don't need to push yourself to keep doing so much. Like, allow yourself to rest. So the projectors are here to be the wise guides. Mm-hmm. They are super observant. They see everything real easily and quickly. And they can tell us, who are the busy worker bees, like, that's not efficient. Do it like this. And of course, they need to wait for the invitation to share with us that information. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we will be very mad at them for telling us how to do our job. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they are wise counselors, managers, guides, coaches. That's their powerhouse role as projectors.
Right. And so when it says manifesting generator, my strategy and generators is to wait to respond. So somebody asked me a question. I don't just say yes or no right away, wait to respond. And then if I'm not following my strategy, then I get frustrated. Whereas the projectors need to be asked, they need to wait for that invitation, which is really, really hard for them. And then if they don't, then they're met with bitterness. That's their not self. But I always feel like the projectors, like if I have an issue and I need someone to give me some feedback, and I go and I ask a projector, they are going to give me the clearest picture. They almost hold the mirror up and they see everything so clearly.
Yeah. It's like, well, duh, why didn't you think of it like that? Like, I don't know, because I'm in the thick of it, right? Mm-hmm. They're the ones who can pull you back and say, no, that's not quite as efficient, right? They're the work smarter, not harder type of a person.
And I think that my projector friends, the ones that they do need those big, huge moments of rest, and then knowing that helps them. Otherwise, they start labeling themselves as lazy and what's wrong with me. And they're not really meant for that traditional role, right? They're meant to like work, and then take big periods of rest.
And it'll be fascinating to observe my projector, because right now she looks like she's the busiest in the family because she's amplifying all of our generator energy. Oh, yeah. She's like has to do art on the iPad while we're watching TV, like at night when I know she should be resting, but she just like keeps amplifying our energy. Mm-hmm. But I do make it a point. I finally put in her routine, and this is good for all projectors, is find quiet time by yourself before you fall asleep to read, to veg, to do something quiet, ideally off screen for your, you know, your sleep patterns. And then sleep by yourself in your own aura to really be able to clear out everything you've amplified all day and wake up fresh.
And generators and manifesting generators, their sleep routine is to make sure that they run out of energy completely and then go to bed when they're tired. right?
Run yourself tired.
Where the projectors
tired,
go before out. They're tired, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's like that little rat on the wheel. They just run, and then collapse.
Yeah. I mean, I'm crocheting before, even though I'm tired. I'm still like, my new favorite hobby is crocheting. I'm still crocheting like before I go to bed. So mm-hmm. I know I'll still fall asleep fine, but I'm like, I can do it. I've got a little bit more energy. So just exhaust as much as I can out.
Yeah. And then let's see.
Manifestors. So same advice for sleeping in your own aura is for any white sacral. So projectors, manifestors, and reflectors. So mm-hmm. Manifestors, they are the initiators. They are the powerful, I guess you could say creators, but they need to delegate to get the systems in place of what they create.
Like they're, Elon Musk, right? He's the visionary behind everything, but he's not going to be the one with his boots on the ground doing all the hard work.
Exactly. And even Ra Uruhu, he's a manifestor and he downloaded these ideas, but he gathered a team to help him make sense of it all, put all the systems together. I mean, that's a huge endeavor to put this whole system together.
Yeah. And he would not have been able to do it on his own without generator's assistance.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones they're the visionaries. So the big expanders of the world. You see like a crack in a door of an opportunity, and then they have the power to wedge that open and be like, oh, come over here. Let's start this. Let's unearth whatever's over here and this great opportunity and maybe life-altering things for humanity.
What is lit up on their chart to make them a manifestor?
It's also connected to the throat, a motor connected to the throat with a white sacral.
That's right. White sacral. Mm-hmm. And then what is their inner authority and their strategy and their not self?
Their inner authority will change. They could have an emotional inner authority. They could have a self-projected, or they could have a splenic inner authority. That's a tricky question.
Yeah.
But what strategy do you mean?
Yeah. So the manifestors, what are their strategy and their not self theme?
The strategy is to inform.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't inform, they will be angry because people will block them because their energy scares people. They'll be like, no, don't do that. Don't go over there. That's too scary. Don't do that. And they'll be like, but I'm ready to go. Like, and so they have a vision and they just need to just be patient for just a millisecond and inform everyone that this decision is going to affect. Mm-hmm. I have this vision. This is what I'm going to start to do. And then you can go ahead and start it and then start gathering your support system to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. And what is their not self?
Anger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then our little reflectors that are kind of rare.
Yes. Reflectors have every single center white.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be so hard. I can't even imagine how hard that would be. Yeah. I mean, what a gift, but man, that'd be so hard.
I know. You definitely don't want to live in an apartment complex if you're a reflector. And if you are, you're feeling a lot of discomfort. Like theirs very much is location and like quiet times, ideally to be out in the countryside, being able to drive into the town when you need to and just have like your own quiet time. For reflection, and you're a very lunar body, so your strategy is to wait 28 days. You can discuss with trusted friends and self-reflect and do all the things that bring you passion, but also work in short spurts as well.
And I think that's hard because they're picking up everyone's thoughts, ideas, emotions, everybody's everything, and it's not theirs and they don't own it, but they're feeling it 10 times more. As if it was their own. So they have to sort through all of that understanding.
Yeah. And everything that's innate within them, they can find in their quiet time, right? Outside of the auras of everybody else. And that's why it takes a while because no one can completely isolate alone for them to really gain the clarity of like, what do I need to do? And what is my next right step? And
What is their superpower?
They are the canary in the coal mine. So they have the sixth sense, or I guess maybe seventh or eighth sense is like this doesn't feel right. Like, this is not clicking. Like, there's something off here. Like, not in modern times. Like, if they were back, this person, when people were in tribes and traveling from land to land, they would be the one to kind of sniff out, like, what's the safest, most grounded place for the tribe to settle in for the night or the week or the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't want to go into the profiles too much, because people can look up that through your book, or they can go online. But let's just give a broad perspective of what a profile is without going into all of them, because there's so many.
Yeah. And I created a video all about the profiles, what they are, and each one. So if you want to link that in the description, I can send you that link.
Yeah. Perfect.
The profile is similar to, like, your personality. It is your main conscious and subconscious theme, whether you like it or not. The subconscious always, like, I don't like it.
Is the second number always the subconscious?
Yes.
Got it.
So for instance, yours is 6-2. So if you look at your sun sign, you have the sun in gate 40 and the point 6 is the profile line. Slash, and then 2 is your subconscious, point 2, the sun sign, sun 35.2.
Got, yeah.
So, and it relates, there's only 6 lines, 6 profile lines, because it relates, this is the element of I Ching. So there are 6 lines in the I Ching. They stack like a, you know, like a grid.
Yeah.
And depending on all the different symbols, there are 64 different ways that you can break up those lines, and they mean something in Chinese, like thunder over water, or, you know, all these different earth elements. So these,
can you go through 1 through 6 and just kind of briefly what are?
You want me to?
Yeah, just briefly. So not going through, like, this is the 6-2 profile or the 1-3 profile.
But the 1 through 6?
Yes, I would love that. Yes.
Yeah, so 1 starts at the bottom. The 1 is the investigator, and then 2 stacks up next, and they all kind of pressure into the next phase, almost like an archetype of life stage, similar to the archetypes of the tarot. You know how you have, like, the fool and then all the way to the enlightened part? So 1 is the investigator.
Two, what does that mean? That they just want to explore and understand?
Yeah, pretty much they love to research. They love to read. They dive down lots of rabbit holes about one particular subject, watch all the videos they can, listen to all the podcasts they can about that topic.
Okay.
Always be prepared before they go on a trip. Like, they're always researching everything. The line 2 is the hermit. This is the person who goes and contemplates all of the information they just got, right? It's pushing up. Solitude.
It's got an introverted energy too,
introverted,
right?
Connected to Mother Earth, like, very earthy nature. Like, I'm just going to go walk in the woods. Like, I just need to get away from everybody kind of energy and contemplate. And then they gain wisdom. They come back. Line 3 is the martyr. They've experienced tremendous struggles, difficulties. They learn life lessons through experiences, through experimenting, and through relationships. That always equals difficulties, right? Pain is how we as humans learn and grow through lessons. So that's why it's called the martyr, because it's like, so much bad crap has happened to me now, right? Like, but I'm such a good person. Kind of that info, that
archetype. I picture the person, like, wandering through life, just bumping into wall, bumping into wall, bumping into wall. And then they learn a lesson, but it hasn't been an easy, flowy path. They've just been, like, knocked from side to side to side.
Yeah. Well, I always love to liken it to, Neville and Harry Potter, because he always has all these accidents, but it's preparing him to slay and get the final Horcrux in the last movie.
Yeah, right. It's a gift.
It's a gift. That doesn't feel like even it. Though it sucks. The whole process sucks.
Yeah.
And that's the middle stack, right? So the middle stack is the hardest. It's the pressured. And then the 4 line is the next one up, is the opportunist. The person who is an exceptional networker, socializer, finds opportunities and all the different ways to connect people, or new business ventures, or money, resources. There's always that hunter, right? Always finding the opportunities and bringing home to the tribe the resources that are needed.
Can you say a tiny bit more about that?
The opportunists, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're great matchmakers. Like, I'm putting my friends together and then they end up getting married. Like, they're great matchmakers, mm-hmm. networkers. They love to be social. They love to find opportunities for connection, putting mm-hmm. opportunities together for people to flow and respond to, right? Because that's part mm-hmm. of our strategies is responding.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we have line five, the heretic. This is the expansion, getting close to the top of the I Ching stack. Mm-hmm. Expansion of the mind. Like the construct that we live here on Earth, like it's just BS. It's just all illusion. Free will, that's an illusion. Like there's just this constant like philosophers and expansioning, the witches of the old times, the witches of the now times, right? Those who are pushing against the systems and the status quos. These are the heretics. These are the people trying to help us expand and grow and evolve consciously.
How do they do that? Say a little bit more about that.
They may speak up against, let's say, for instance, like vaccines. They're like, I don't want to get an experimental thing in my body, right? They could be using herbs to heal themselves, mm-hmm. even privately, right? It could just be your own individual life. They could be an advocate for homeschooling. They could be an advocate for the system, but like, how do we do this better? How can we include everybody? How can we erase racism from our school systems or whatever systems, right? Mm-hmm. They're the expansion thought process people.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
They always feel like they also don't belong. They feel a little bit odd to be here on Earth, but I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm here. So how do we make the best of it?
Yeah.
How do we make heaven on Earth versus... Mm-hmm. Yeah, being truly connected to it. And then the sixth line is the role model. Mm-hmm. It's a top line. So they can sometimes be aloof because there's no more line to push into. It's like the final archetype. Mm-hmm. So they could appear aloof. They are also feel highly responsible for mm-hmm. everything and everybody.
Yeah.
And they're just these natural leaders. The four, five, and six, those are all leadership roles. Those are interpersonal, whereas mm-hmm. the one, two, and three are personal. And a lot of times you don't want to be a role model. You don't want to be a leader, especially if you have it as in your subconscious, so the second number.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they keep promoting me to being manager. Like, I hate it. Mm-hmm. But that's subconsciously, you are a role model. Like, you naturally help people try and be a better person by them just watching you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of information, but I think it's a really good overview. I mean, if somebody looks at the chart and they pull up their own chart, I think that they can get a lot of information. And then you can dive into those numbers. You can dive into the gates. You can figure out your channels. You can look more into your profile. Your incarnation cross goes a little bit deeper. I mean, this system is so vast that it's hard not to get boggled down. But I think if somebody's really just wanting to explore on the surface level, everything that we did today is really useful. And there's so much, and you could dive down the rabbit hole for a long time with just what we've done, just exploring your gates and what's open and what's defined and not defined. Yeah. I think that people don't need to go super, super, super deep into the system because it is very, very, very complex. And I feel like the more I learn, the more I know I have no idea what I'm doing. But it's been helpful. It's been helpful for me to understand myself, my relationship with my husband, my child, my shadow side, what I need to work on, what my strengths are, what my gifts are. And also learning my strengths and gifts has helped me help me kind of stand into the power of them instead of pushing them down. Like, oh, you're not supposed to speak out about this. And it's like, well, I am because it's in my chart.
Yeah, well, I'm going to, and I'm placed here on this earth for this reason. So screw all of you who are going to try and push me down and silence me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And you can learn more in my book too, if you want to grab a paperback, Empath's Guide to Rising Strong. Mm-hmm. This allows you to go through like, what does it mean? Like I do journal prompts too, for you to reflect about your chart. You can color in your chart to help really lock in like, okay, these are my defined centers. These are my white centers. And then, of course, if you want to learn more and get a reading, I do readings as well.
Yeah. And what other offerings do you have, and how can people connect with you?
Yes. Getting a reading or grabbing the book, Empath's Guide to Rising Strong is the best way to start in with mm-hmm. me. But if you want to start for free, you can listen to my podcast or head over to my YouTube channel. The podcast is Empath and the Narcissist, and I go through healing with human design. So I kind of integrate the interactions and the pains and vulnerabilities of trying to figure out what's going on being with a narcissist, as well as how to heal it through the power of your human design, knowing who you are, to literally kill out and rewrite all the lies that they're conditioning you to believe to keep you under their control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And the YouTube channel is Empath Rising with Raven.
Yeah. Awesome. This has been great. Thank you so much. I think this is a really good jumping off for people that are brand new to it. It's a really powerful system. And I love it. I think since I found it, it's helped me in my life for sure.
Yeah. If you want to grab a free report, I do create a mini report for you. If you fill out your birth information, I can run your chart for you and then email you your report.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I thank you so much. I really appreciate you and your time and your expertise on this topic. It's been awesome.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Nikki.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Community Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, share, and subscribe. I can be found at www.nikkiyyoga.com, NikkiYyoga.com. Until I see you again next week, I hope you have a beautiful day.